Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's Felger and Mads here on a Monday following the Patriots' win over Dallas yesterday. We'll mix it up a little bit. We don't often do guests, but let's do one here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Terry Bradshaw from Fox Sports. He's here to talk also about some Hall of Fame fan voting that's going on here presented by Ford. We'll get to that in a minute. But, Terry, first of all, thanks for taking the time. Hey. We appreciate it.
Okay, Mike. Is it Michael? Do I call you Mike?
Yeah, Michael? Mike. Mike's fine. Felger, whatever.
Mike and I was telling every producer, Maserati, I said, that is a cool name, Maserati.
Thank you.
Short Maz, right?
Yeah, Maz is good.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good name. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, babe, here's the question. Do the Patriots have an offense?
Got it.
Is the Patriots offense good enough to win a Super Bowl?
Well, let's say they won last year 13-3. I think their offense is fine. I was telling your local hero there, Gronkowski, yesterday. I said, the only thing wrong with New England right now is you. You're here with us instead of playing the football game. But I think it is. I mean, as long as they have Tom Brady, they try to run. They don't do it really. They weren't really good at running. And I thought yesterday's conditions for passing were just ridiculous. And I thought Tom handled the conditions extremely well. The other bunch, until he put the rubber gloves on.
I'm just going to put Terry on hold. See if we can get to a better zone there.
Yeah, let's see if we can get a better connection. That's what I would do.
So, Mass, is this offense good enough to win a Super Bowl?
Yes, it is. And look, I think yesterday you saw some steps in the right direction. I thought Myers was pretty good in the game. Overall, again, when I looked at the targets, I saw 9 targets and only 4 catches. It felt better than that to me during the game. So, and the one down the middle of the field, you know, I know he got absolutely popped on that play. It looked to me like he was dropping the ball before he got drilled on that play. So I sort of put it half and half. You know, if there isn't a big hit there, does he make the catch? Probably, or he should. And so, you know, but I think it overall, the offense actually took a step in the right direction yesterday.
So, Terry, we have you back again. Yeah. You don't think that's tough threading the needle trying to win 13-9 every week?
Listen, if you're winning football games like that, you take it because it makes you mentally strong. I mean, and when you're winning those close games, number one, you're playing really good football teams for the Patriots to be shut down like they did. Other than the Ravens this year, everything else, I don't have a problem with it. I keep going back to the Super Bowl. Look, they won it 13-3. They can win it. And they can win it 3-0. Their defense is that good. And as long as Brady is standing up, and as long as Edelman is running crossing routes, and as long as the backs, one of the things that New England does so well is they run so many various screens from so many different formations, and that really creates a real headache for our defensive coordinator. I don't have a problem with it at all because they throw the ball well to the back, they throw it well to the receivers. It doesn't bother me at all. It may bother everybody else because, look, we're so used to seeing Tom in that offense light it up. And, well, that's changed now. And Sanu's got to come back. He's got to get healthy. Who else you got missing over there? So, you got a young rookie kid, yeah, that's got to come on. He hasn't quite popped through yet, but he will. So I'm not worried about it. Maybe the locals are, but from far away me, no, I'm not worried about it at all. Now, if they get into a shooting match, and I don't think that's going to happen, I don't think the Raven game's going to happen again. So therefore, I say they're fine. I'm not worried about them.
So Terry, as you said, the roles are reversed now. It's a defense first team. You're talking about the offense,
right?
Do you still think that they are clearly the best team in the league and the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
I don't think they're the favorite now because of what's happening in Baltimore with Jackson. But that's a huge mistake. If you cannot disregard 10-1, I mean, from an outsider, it's looking in. I'm like 10-1. Listen, I will not be surprised if they're at the Super Bowl. And if they are at the Super Bowl, I will pick them to win. I don't care who they're playing right now.
Terry, we'll talk about the Hall of Fame.
It doesn't matter to me.
We'll talk about the Hall of Fame voting here in 1 second. Do you think the Patriots are underrepresented right now in the Hall of Fame? I look at your Steelers team from the 70s, and I'm sorry.
Right.
You know, I don't have the numbers in there, but yeah. you guys are well represented. And do you think that the voting is lagging behind on the Patriots' dynasty?
Probably, yes. First of all, with all the social media that's going on, if you go back to the 70s when we were good, and you take that, there were three networks carrying football, all right? So everybody knew who we were, everybody. Now it's with social media out there, it should be even more so. The Cowboys are screaming they should have more in. Let some time pass. Teddy is probably going to go in. I don't know your team as well as you people do. Tom's certainly going in. Edelman's probably going in. Gronkowski's going in. Let time pass. And you'll see a lot of, I don't have any doubts, a lot of New England people. Your head coach is going to go to the top of the class. So you're going to have probably 8 people over the last 10, 12 years that have been playing for your team that are going to go into the Hall of Fame. And I don't even know who the defensive people are. So you've got some people that are going to go in. You just got to be a little patient and let some time go by. Right now, it's your good teams have been since, what, 2002 when you started winning. So you've got a 17-year period there. A lot of great players that played for New England are going to be going into the Hall of Fame.
Do you think the Pro Football Hall of Fame puts too much emphasis on those rings, Terry? That, you know, if you win rings, you're in. If you don't, you're not considered the same way.
You know what? I used to think, I didn't really think they put too much emphasis on it. But I do know that when it came down to two players, that rings mattered. And I was talking to some people yesterday, and I was said, it's so glad that Marino's in, obviously. It's so glad Dan Fouts is in, obviously. And they don't have rings, but they are an incredible player. Phillip Rivers is going to go in. Eli Manning's going to go in, but he has rings. Rings make a difference, but all of us that are in television, that are in radio, those of us that have played in the NFL are now a part of broadcast teams. We know who the players are and how special they are, and those players will get mentioned. Those players will go into the Hall of Fame. Rings make a difference, but you don't necessarily have to have a ring.
Okay.
I don't think anymore.
Terry, tell me about the Hall of Fame voting presented by Ford that you're talking about.
Well, yeah, Ford is doing this. It's the second year to do this, and what they're having is Ford is acknowledging the great fans that we have. New England's got plenty of them. And what they're saying is if you go on to FordHallOfFans.com/football, and you can nominate someone that you think is an incredible fan that would be well represented and would be up for the Ford Hall of Fans. And they also, there's 20 people when the playoffs come that are going to be selected to be finalists. And then at Super Bowl, you're going to see Mr. Baker go around, and what he's going to do, David Baker, who's the head of the Hall of Fame, what he will do is then knock on the door and select 1 to 3 fans to go into the NFL. So it'll be the Hall of Fame fans going in as Ford representative into the Hall of Fame. And last year, the guy went in was one of them was from Pittsburgh. And you get a jacket, you get a ring, you get a bus, and you go right there, and you're in the Hall of Fame. It's just really cool, and I'm really glad that Ford's doing something like this. So, Ford, you guys are sitting there on radio. I mean, come on. There's got to be some New England fans out there that are well-deserving to be nominated. Just go ahead. You can nominate yourself if somebody else doesn't want to do it.
No, trust me. There are no fans up here that are worthy.
Terry, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
Okay. See you later. Pro Football, HOF.com/fanvote. What? That wasn't worth it? You don't think that was great? Loved it. Loved every minute of it. Pro Football, HOF.com/fan favorite. We'll try and get our show back right after this.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Edelman now motions to the left as Brady takes the snap. Backs Jules. Up, lucky left. Back shoulder fade for Perry in the end zone. Caught it. Touchdown, Patriots.
Rookie.
Beautiful throw. Terrific catch for his first career score. N'Keal Harry.
Terry Bradshaw?
Not really, no.
Do you want me to write? Do you want me to just keep doing this?
No.
Checked every box of the useless sports talk radio interview. Every box. The useless sports talk radio phone interview. That checked every single box. Bad phone. Not funny grab ass. Didn't say anything. And then, so what are we doing? What are we doing? Email went out a week ago. You want this? I deferred to the group. Fine. I should use my instincts. No. Hard no. Hard no. Hard no. Checked every box of the useless sports talk radio interview. Every box. And I don't mean to bash Terry Bradshaw. Whatever it is, what it is. It's just, oh my God.
One of my you guys,
one of my favorite things that we've done in 10 years is that we don't do that. We don't do that interview.
Well,
so I had my head examined to say yes to that. Like, what?
Lesson learned.
Oh, my God. It just frustrates me. We never do that.
I blame you.
I do, too. I blame me. I deferred.
Oh, God, stop.
Whatever the group wants. Well, so just use your instinct. No, 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 no. Is it no every time? No. It's always no. Why was it yes that time?
He couldn't even get the website right.
Seriously?
Four Hall of Fame fans.com.
I don't mean to. I don't want to. It's me. I'm frustrated that I said yes to the interview. Checked every box you could possibly have of the useless sports talk radio interview. That checked. And the first two are the ones that all I need. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, grab ass. Bad phone, let's grab ass. And not talk about anything. Just hee-haw. Hee-haw over a bad phone. Let's just do that for 15 minutes, shall we? Oh, my God. That I've spent my career trying not to do that. Not to do that interview. And there it was. Oh, God. Damn, that is frustrating. What did we just play there? Brady to N'Keal Harry?
That was a mistake.
Let me ask you. When you think of N'Keal Harry's day yesterday, you think about the drop on the sideline or the touchdown catch?
Can I say both?
What do you think Brady thinks about tonight?
The drops.
Do you think he thinks about the drops?
The one on the sideline.
It was his best ball of the game.
Yeah, no, right. You're talking about which one now?
One that was right in his breadbasket that he let his body try to catch and he dropped.
I thought his best ball was the one at the pylon. I thought that was a ridiculously good throw. Insanely good to put it where he put it.
That must have been like 25 yards on a line.
Oh my gosh. And literally like 6 inches, if that, above the hand of the defender. Like only where his guy could get it. It's hard to make a better throw than that any quarterback in any game in the NFL. I thought that was a thing of beauty, that throw. And he dropped it. Oh, he dropped it. I know it was a hard catch, but it's the whole reason he's here. I was screaming last week for them to throw to him in the red zone. You have N'Keal Harry active, and you don't target him in the red zone? Like, what the hell are you doing? Now, yesterday they get down there. First chance they get, back shoulder to Harry, makes the acrobatic catch, gets his feet down. Boom! There you go! That's what I'm talking about! That's all he has to do. That's the whole reason he's there. Whether it's the back shoulder or somewhere in traffic in the red zone on a slant, whatever. You get the idea. That's why he's on the team. They get their first red zone possession. They get the touchdown. Bang! It's where they've had trouble all year.
Keep going to him.
And then the next two. Oh, my God. The drop on the sideline, Murray, that you're talking about was way worse.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, you can't catch that one. You don't belong in the league.
Do you blame Jacoby Myers for dropping the one down the seam?
Where he got lit up?
Yes.
I'd say yes.
Yeah. He was looking right at the safety. Yeah. He was coming at him.
And the other thing is he started to drop it before he got hit.
Yeah.
Right? So had he secured the ball and then it got popped out, I'd feel less so that way. But the ball was coming out before he got hit. because he knew he was going to get drilled. And that was another great throw by Brady. I mean, like, really, you can pick three or four of them. The game where you said he made some great throws.
Brady was decent in this game.
Yeah.
He was better than decent. I thought he was good.
How about the one down the right seam to Watson? That was a good ball. And Ben Watson's all twisted up. And it's like, what the hell are you looking at?
Yeah, that was a good throw, too.
But either way, on those young guys. So Brady's asked about him after the game. Billy, we can hear that. And I think... And then I'll play a report that was played in the game. So I think Brady's starting to give these guys a little bit of support, which is really all it takes, Tom. Just give them a little bit of support. How about Brady after the game on N'Keal Harry and the touchdown catch?
How much did it mean to have a play where it was basically just a jump ball, back shoulder throw, the sort of thing we haven't seen in a while, and see N'Keal come up with that and really the only touchdown of the game?
He made a great catch. That was a great play. And that was awesome. That's what we need.
Okay, not going overboard. But at least he didn't hock a loogie.
In real time, though, he was pretty excited about it.
You think that was loogie hocking?
I don't know. Beadle and I were talking about it in the post game. I don't think it was loogie hocking, but it was no ringing endorsement. I mean, he was set up with a softball right there. Breaks the play down. Whoever was asking that question, I apologize. We don't know who it is. And Brady's just like, yeah, I was going to need more of that.
Well, you know why? Because by then, the two drops had happened.
So Brady cares more about those drops than the touchdown.
And that's the last answer, and then he screwed out of there. Like, it was a very quick
question. Oh, that was it? That was the last question?
That was the last question.
Yeah, he did. He said last one.
Well, he was asked, Billy, he was asked about Harry and Myers, that I thought he gave him a little something.
The kid receivers, Jacoby and Harry, can you talk about what they, you know, they stepped up a big game?
They played a lot of plays, and proud of those two. They put a lot of effort in this week. And they're making improvements, and it was great to see. So they both came through with some big plays for us. We needed it, and did a great job.
Okay.
That was better.
A little better. The first two things he said, though, is that they played a lot of plays, and they practiced hard, which isn't saying that they played well. You know what I mean? He came around to it in the second part of it. It's going to take a crowbar for Brady to support these guys, but he has to do it.
Well, at least in his mind, at least the door is opened a little. Okay, because what he was doing before was just like, this is a waste of my time. Okay, and now, so somewhere in between Philly and Dallas, someone or something got through to him. And it might have been as simple as the fact that he realized that he sounded like a raging a-hole after the Philly game. And he said, well, we are where we are now. And so it's either these guys or nobody.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I firmly believe that if these guys keep playing, Harry and Myers, and he keeps going to them and doesn't lose faith in them and doesn't shut them out, that they will make plays, and they will make plays down the stretch in big games to help win you games. And you're not going to – this isn't the greatest show on turf, but they're going to give you what you need, and they're going to give Brady what he needs if he sticks with them. I believe that. I believe they'll scheme him open. They were open yesterday, and they dropped some balls. But I think they'll catch the next one or the one after that, and they'll make plays for you if Brady will just stick with them. Brady did. I think he was more effusive to the broadcast crew, which is just as important. Did you hear Aaron Andrews after the N'Keal Harry touchdown? Listen to this.
Aaron Andrews has already caught the attention, for good reason, of Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I love what he told us this week, Tom, saying Harry's growth from last week to this week was so impressive. So much so, Brady said to us, he was like, boy, what do you have for breakfast this week? And like you said, Joe, Tom saying he likes it dirty, he likes a street fight. Some wide receivers don't like to get touched. Not the case for N'Keal.
Yeah, so he compared him to Julian Edelman. He likes to keep a defender close and then give him a shove and make the catch.
Okay, so that's high praise there, even though we heard from Gasper that Harry has sucked in practice.
Yeah, well, maybe, right. So, I don't know, maybe Gasper was going off of practice before last week. I don't know.
Or
Brady's lying?
Yeah, to Aaron Andrews.
Yeah, which he probably is.
Because he's pumping up his teammate.
Which is fine.
Which is just fine.
Yeah.
You want to paint a rosy picture for the Fox broadcast crew and give your young players some support and give them some love? Good. You can lie there. That's fine.
I mean, he should lie. Like, again, he should. These guys don't know. N'Keal Harry's been on NFL field in a real game for all of 2 weeks, for crying out loud. The kid's terrified. Who's kidding who? So Brady should make him think he's doing fine. Just keep playing, kid. That's all. You just keep playing, and when it comes your way, catch it.
Okay, so there you go. There's thoughts on the young receivers. I think they have enough given their defense. And given the fact they're going to be at home, given the fact that there's going to be more weather games like that, given the whole landscape, and is Brady slowly coming around? I think he might be. All right, back to your phones at 617-779-0985. There's a couple open lines if you want to grab them. Billy in Rhode Island for Maz. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing, Fargo? I took away just more positives from the game than negatives. I just think we all know their defense was playing good and so forth. But they kept Michelle in, I think, for one reason. He never, I shouldn't say this, I'll probably jinx him. He never fumbles, especially in a game like that with the rain and everything. So I was wondering why they didn't bring in some other backs. But I think Belichick wanted to keep him in there, keep the ball secure. Oh. But as far as these new guys, they're getting a few plays in here and there. I think there were more positives. The offense, they tried their best. Don't forget, this team needed this game, Dallas. Big time. And they came in there. They didn't want to lose this football game.
Okay, Billy, I'm just going to stop you there. What did you think of Sony Michel?
I thought Michel ran harder yesterday and ran better. There were a couple of plays in particular where I thought he made good cuts and found openings that maybe, you know, hadn't been there in past weeks. So overall, good. Yeah, I thought Michel was good yesterday.
I thought it was his best game of the year. And it's not statistically. It's the Redskins game, but that's the Redskins. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. Yards per carry, I think it was like 4.2, 4.3. He was good yesterday. And the thing that bugged me about his game was they went away from him to start the second half. It was Rex Burkhead. So, like, ride the hot hand there. Like, I don't know. I feel you build up the kid's confidence a little bit more, too.
I thought it was telling that last real Patriots drive where they're 13-9, they get the ball, and they're throwing, you know, which I thought was an interesting decision. I will get to that in a second. But after they picked up a couple first downs throwing, they got into Dallas territory, and they turned around and handed it off twice to Michelle. To Michelle. And they trusted Michelle there as opposed to Burkhead, which I thought was telling. Say this about Michelle. He, you know, has not put the ball on the ground. He did once last year?
Yeah, I guess there was one this year, too. It happened in the Miami game. It says here he fumbled.
I don't even remember. Did he lose it?
Me neither. I don't know.
Okay, so I think that's telling that he trusted Sony Michel there. Here's our buddy Scott in Weymouth. Yes, Scott?
What's up, guys? Hey, by the way, I thought the Terry Bradshaw interview was great. And Kareem, come on. He's a star. That was great, Felga.
Go ahead. What else you got?
All right. Is anyone really worried about this Patriots team? Similar to a good offense being a good defense, circa 87 Edmonton Oilers, a good defense is a good offense. If this team allows 9 points a game, they're going to win the Super Bowl. And if they have to win it 24-3 every week, so be it.
But is anyone really worried about this Patriots team? Murray?
There's a couple of things about the offense that I'm concerned about, and that's Julian Edelman. I don't think he's going to last the season at this rate because he's completely beaten up, and James White's been pretty much erased from the offense.
See, I think White is by design. I do. I think they're just saving White because they know they're going to need him in the playoffs. Last year, they beat him into the ground, and you know he got hurt late in the year, if you remember. And I mean, I'd have to go back and look, but didn't he have more touches through like the first 10 weeks last year than he had in the previous seasons
combined?
I don't
have that number.
Oh, it's huge.
Talk to the big boy about this tomorrow, because it's not by design.
So there's an injury or something?
No, it's not an injury. It's what defenses are doing, because it ultimately comes, I don't want to blow up his spot, but it ultimately comes down to they don't have Gronk or another weapon that they need to double and put a linebacker on White. They're now putting safeties or defensive back on him. He doesn't have the separation he normally has.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it. I'll accept that.
They did go on to that. He ran like an out on third and seven or right where it was like it wasn't a third and two. That they ran a pretty deep pattern on it. It might have been the last one on that drive. Now that I'm thinking, no, that was Burkhead out there. I thought they threw to White at the stakes, like on a third and seven or something. But maybe so. I mean, if I were defense, I wouldn't cover James White with a linebacker. No way. You'll get torched.
They don't have to worry about it anymore, these defenses, because they don't have a tight end you can really get to worry about.
So interesting. So they can put their good, bigger cover defensive back on James White versus the tight end.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's what Bernard has found.
Okay, we'll get the big boy tomorrow at 2.
So can I just add quickly, because I wanted to look it up. Last year, White played on 54% of offensive snaps. This year, it's 39. So he's out there less, too.
Yeah.
Now, the year before, it was 34. It went 34, 54, and then 39. I think they leaned on him too hard early in the year last year. I think he set a career high for touches last year, and he was shot by the end of the year.
Okay, let's get to Dallas's decision-making yesterday, shall we? This should be fun. We'll do it right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
So here's the field goal try.
Well, I just think I said it. I
I would be going for it here on fourth down. You're going to, you know, if you think you're going to get enough possessions, two more possessions and field goals, you know, are your game. But otherwise, you're going to have to come away with a touchdown regardless. And if you miss and you don't convert here, you've got New England backed up into the wind. I would not be settling for 3 points.
29-yard drive. Back to a four-point game.
Thoughts there on Dallas going for three on that last drive of the fourth quarter. Second to last drive, I suppose.
I mean, the word I really want to use, I don't think we can use, but it's what you would call a little kitty. Like, what are you doing? You're
gutless.
Yeah, it's gutless. It's stupid. That's the deepest you're going to get there. And I guess what? The argument is, well, they still had three timeouts. Okay, then go for it. And if you don't get it, the Patriots offense, which has mostly struggled all day, and your defense has done a hell of a job, they're basically pinned. So you're going to get good field position regardless. Go for it there. There's six and change left in the game. You're probably not going to get back down there. And you settle for a useless field goal? I mean, that was, on the one hand, it's surprising because I think they're idiots, but it's not surprising because it's Jason Garrett, and this is what this guy has done there since he's been the head coach of the Cowboys for the last decade. He's an idiot.
And Aikman's calling it before it even happens.
I mean, what were they saying?
Four down territory, and then they come up with the field goal unit. Sorry, go ahead.
No, what were they trying to do, cover the spread? No, I wonder, is that what the logic was? And I say, I wonder. I don't think Garrett's betting on the game, but I'm saying, what's the logic there? You got them. You haven't been down there the whole game. Okay, you're down seven. Minutes to go. You haven't been down there the whole game against the best defense in the league on a day where it is extremely difficult to throw.
You still need a touchdown.
Right? Right. If you cut it to three, then fine.
Right.
But you're cutting it to four.
Right. Are you kicking it so it doesn't look that bad?
And and you have the wind behind your back. So the Patriots got to dig out from their 7-yard line. If you hold them, they got to punt into the wind. You're getting the ball back at the 35, 40-yard line.
Insane.
And you kick a field goal?
Insane.
Right. Oh, you wuss bag.
Right. And Bailey mostly sucked that game, too. So, again, you're kicking into the wind. It's like they don't think things through. You've talked about it now for years, like the coaching in this league.
Oh.
It's Belichick, precipitous drop-off. Maybe you want to say Andy Reid or Pete. Even bigger drop off, and then it's just this collection of idiots like Jason Garrett.
So I was watching one of the shows at night. There's advanced analytics that say kicking it there gave them 8% less of a chance of winning than if they'd gone for it there. Now, I don't know what they're putting into their supercomputer there to give you that, but the analytics would say he cost them 8% on win probability by kicking it there versus going for it.
I felt like it was more.
And I felt throughout the game, Maz, you said third down play calling. There were. They had some short throws where they needed to be throwing into the end zone or the stakes. And I thought this happened throughout the game. There was first half, the field goal drive that made it 10-6. They had a 3rd-and-7 from the Patriots 11, and they ran this little 2-yard screen to Pollard that had that was short. That was way short. I understand it was a screen, but it was way short.
That was the sequence where Elliott came out of the game.
Was that it? Was that the one you were talking about?
Same one, yeah. It was in the little flat on the right.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a garbage play.
Then there was one in the third quarter, one of the early drives of the third quarter. They have a 3rd-and-3, and they throw a short little ball to Randall Cobb. That was way short of the stakes.
Yep.
And then,
Patriots made an aggressive, good tackle on that play, so they were probably looking to break a tackle, but even so, you're throwing underneath the stakes.
You're not doing it with that guy. Not with Randall's, I love him, but he's not a break-a-tackle kind of guy, 3 yards short of the stakes. And then on that last possession before they decided that puss field goal, was the ball to Witten? The ball before was on the back line that he threw out the back of the end zone. It was caught, but it was just out the back.
Yeah, that was the other tight end, yeah.
The ball before to Witten, that was short too, wasn't it?
I think it was.
So, like, there were all these situations where they had to be throwing into the end zone or past the stakes, and they're throwing short. It happened repeatedly in that game.
Yeah, I thought the third down play calling for the Cowboys in this game was horrendous. Horrendous. Either they were, you know, throwing when they should run, running when they should throw, throwing under the stakes. It was god-awful. It was absolutely horrendous.
But to me, and I'm with Jerry Jones on this, the coaching showed up the most in the special teams. And to me, I want to be careful with this because I still think Bill overemphasizes it. And so you could say to Bill Felger, that doesn't make any sense. He just won a game on special teams. How could he overemphasize it? Because he pays too much for it. Jerry Jones said after the game that special teams is all about coaching, which is right. It's about coaching. It's not about GM work. It's not about paying those guys. There's only one guy in the special teams I would pay, and they do, and that's Matt Slater. I think he's absolutely, truly a difference maker. If we wanted to bring Terry Bradshaw back on, he's probably never heard of him, but I honestly think Matthew Slater should deserve consideration as a Hall of Fame special teams player, don't you think?
Tremendous.
I mean, so I don't know if those guys are in. I don't think they get voted on. I think, you know, there's only one or two kickers, for crying out loud. Never mind gunners. So he's not going to make it. He shouldn't. But if there were a wing for special team specialists,
Don Beebe.
I was going to say Don Beebe. Thank you. The Buffalo, the great Gazoo there. You know, if it was one of those guys, if there was a wing, if those guys made it, he should go. And I'd pay him a little bit extra to keep him. Other than that, Bill has too many guys on his roster that he pays to cover kicks, that he pays more than minimum, which I think is a mistake because it's all about coaching. You should be able to get those guys on the street and coach them up. But either way, Bill does. And it was the coaching in that game, whether it's fielding punts, fielding kicks, move up when you're against the wind versus just standing back like a bunch of clowns like the Cowboys did when they were in that one end and the ball kept hitting the ground. Whether it was how the Patriots flummoxed them by simply not having a guy back to field that punt.
Right.
How was that? But Dallas had no idea what to do with itself just because the Patriots brought an extra guy up to the line, didn't have anyone deep to field the punt, and Dallas is like, what do we do now? As opposed to kicking the ball. I don't know, kick it?
Yeah, they had to take a delay of game penalty. Again, that was a big sequence, too.
It was a delay, then a motion.
Yep, correct. They got two penalties there, and then a bad kick.
And the Patriots gained, I think, like 20, 25 yards in field position on that sequence.
And got a field goal.
Like, credit to Belichick. How's he not cracking up on the sideline?
Oh, he is. Yeah. Seriously, you know those notes? You know that note card he has? He's writing down, Garrett is a dumbass. Garrett is a real dumbass. That's what he's writing.
No, see, to me, this was the key to the game. Patriots' average start was their 41-yard line. Dallas's average start was their 21-yard line. And I think that was the ball game right there. Special teams won you that game. Again, Bailey punted six times. Dallas didn't catch a single one. They didn't have a single return or fair catch. They just let it go. And, you know, a couple bounces in the end zone for touchbacks. And the Patriots only had one fair catch. But, Dallas let all – they didn't touch a single punt. Never mind the kickoffs that they let roll around, too. They let the kickoffs roll around.
I mean, the kickoffs, to me, are more egregious.
They had – I'm sorry, three kickoff returns for 6 yards.
It was unbelievable. Really, that one that fell behind between two guys, and one of them was Pollard. I'm sort of sitting there, and the other thing is, you know, the kickoff is live. The punt is not live. If you wanted to say that in the case of the punt, with the wind and everything else, hey, guys, if you have any doubt, let it drop and get the hell out of the way. Okay, tough day to field punts. Okay, tough day. Fine. The kickoff's live. You have no choice. The ball's live.
I just wonder if that's some sort of record. Three kickoff returns for 6 yards.
Brutal.
Kickoff returns. Has that ever happened? And this is the odd thing here is that I thought Nick Folk was better than Bailey. Bailey had his first, I thought, average game, below average game.
Yeah, I didn't think Bailey was very good at all in this game.
It took him a while to get him in deep. And Folk, I thought, even though he missed two field goals, that third one, the one that he made in the fourth quarter was a big kick, or third quarter, late third to make it 13, was a big kick into the wind going into the lighthouse end, fourth quarter. That was a big kick. But it did. The coaching showed up on special teams. So I, for once in my life, agree with Jerry Jones on that one. Right to your calls on this item and everything else right after this.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A little surprised to see Tony Pollard. He's all the way on the goal line. I'd be around the 10-yard line expecting another short kick into this win.
And he has to come running out. He don't get that. That's a lot. Just able to get back on top of it. And that landed between both Olawale and Tony Pollard. And Pollard was able to recover. But you're right, it's like they're surprised with the Patriots kicking into the wind that the ball doesn't travel to the goal line.
They're fortunate to have the ball, number one. Number two, that's poor coaching. I mean, that's coaching. Nobody's telling Tony Pollard, get up. You know, every kick in. into the wind has been short. They dodge a bullet there.
Coach. To me, special teams is 100% coaching. It's 100% coaching. How, strategy, it's having players ready. They use the makeup of the roster. We exclude certain players from it because they're too important in the defense and offensive phase of it. But other than that, special teams. And that's why today give Belichick and give them credit. They did a great job on special teams, and that was really probably the determining difference. But special teams is nothing to coaching.
I don't think Jerry Jones has ever been more right. Very few difference maker guys. Slater's one of them. We said BB before. Do we mean Tasker?
Yeah, Steve Tasker is who I was thinking of.
What's the diff? But yeah. I mean, but so like those guys are few and far between. The rest, it's all coaching, which leads to the Rodenheiser take.
Yep, Hot Sports Takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Heating specials now available. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. This guy, Garrett, this guy's a donkey. Okay, but we knew that going in. So my only thing, and we touched on this last week when we were talking about sort of the Dallas brand and the Cowboys mystique, the number one franchise in the NFL. So Jerry Jones wants to bitch about the coaching after a loss in Foxborough? Then hire a coach. Hire a coach. He's hired nothing but one stooge after the next since Bill Parcells left. Nothing but one stooge after the next. Then they come up to Foxborough and play the Patriots, and he calls it a game they had to have at a critical point in the season. They come up here and lose, and he's going to blame his coach? Like, so listen, and he should, okay? I'm not telling you Garrett's exempt from blame. But I would also tell you, look in the mirror, dude.
What? The guy's been doing it for 10 years.
I mean, like, when you have a team like Dallas that has that much talent and is basically playing 500 football, you turn to the coach. You absolutely turn to the coach. In this case, though, you also turn to the owner, who doesn't want to coach with any type of ego or power because it would take away the spotlight from him. Can you imagine if Robert Kraft were outside the locker room waiting for the media after every game?
Oh, God.
We would crucify him.
Oh, my God.
We would destroy him for it, for making himself the story. This guy does it every single week. Oh, it's a joke.
I was reading Dallas. Someone blamed the special teams coach, which I'm sure he deserves, but it's missing the mark. That's the head coach's, especially now since Jason Garrett, he doesn't call the offensive plays. That's the Moore kid. So it's like his whole job as CEO is clock, wind, field direction, kicking game, wind at our backs, wind in our face. Where are our up men? Where are our return guys? How do we set up into the wind? Versus, that's the whole, now that's your job. The big sort of macro things, game planning things. And all game, they're letting the ball roll around on the ground in the kicking game. Because no one can just stop and say, oh, when they're kicking towards the lighthouse, it's into the wind and they're coming up short. No one came up with that.
Game. It's as basic as it gets.
That last one that was rolling around on the ground where Aikman is saying that's all coaching was late in the fourth quarter.
I know.
And it's so that's just, it did, that's where the coaching showed up to me.
I mean, you're in a one-score game basically the whole day. Okay, it was 10-6 or 13-6. You're in a one-score game. And they let a kickoff drop and bounce between them and roll back 15 yards to the point where they had to run back and cover it or the Patriots would have gotten the ball. Like, have you ever seen that?
Okay, so your thoughts on this and everything else. Paul in Rhode Island on the officiating. Go ahead, Paul. Paul! Paulie. Calls back. You know the number. Ryan in New Hampshire. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, I just wanted to call also about the officiating. I know the trips obviously were horrendous, but there were a few other calls as well that were mind-boggling. I think the PI on J.C. Jackson at one point, and there was also a hold on Jalen Smith that I thought could have been called a PI. I just think, you know, they should get better, like, officiating crews, you'd think, for these games, like someone like Tony Carreni or someone like that.
Okay. All right. I don't think he likes the fact that the Patriots got some calls in this game, so he tried to even them out there. The J.C. Jackson was ticky-tack. It was the first play of the second drive of the ball game with 11 minutes left in the first quarter. I would hardly put that up against the trip on the final drive of the game that took away a 3rd-and-1 conversion?
I mean, the two trips were horrendous. The second one was like...
I mean, the first one was a bad call, but it came in the... Again, that one came in the middle of the first quarter. Dallas was, at the time, in 2nd-and-13. That put them in 2nd-and-23. That drive probably wasn't going anywhere. It was a bad trip call, but that didn't impact the... I don't think that one impacted the game. Just like the J.C. Jackson defensive pass interference didn't impact the game, Dallas got no points on that drive. The second trip...
Brutal.
When they picked up a 3rd-and-1, the holding... that nullified the 15-yard crosser to Cooper that would have given 1st-and-10 at the Pats' 35-yard line. 3rd-and-3 pickup. Those are big calls. And the holding one was, you know... It was borderline. You know, he may have hooked him a little bit, like you've seen that. That was over-officious and could have gone either way. The trips, you don't even see. There were five... I guess people have been saying there's been 5 tripping calls across the entire league this year, Mass. 5. And Dallas got 2 yesterday.
In the same game.
Think of that.
One with the game on the line.
The second on 3rd-and-1 that picked up the first down late in the fourth quarter. Wow. Woof. We've got, here's our buddy Bob in Easton. Hi, Bobby.
This is the number one show, okay? If somebody moved here 3 months ago, you know what they would have heard? They would have heard Tony Maserati say that the Jets have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Celtics making the Eastern Conference Finals. Terry Bradshaw doing an interview from the Popeyes commercial set. And you two nitwits critiquing Tom Brady after on a press conference. Do you remember the show Living Color in Living Color?
I never saw it.
With Jim Carrey. They had a skit called... Murray, do you remember the show?
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a skit called Men on Film.
Yeah,
I don't remember. You two are exactly like that.
Yeah, they hated it.
Two guys, exactly. So, Maz, what did you think of Brady's response to N'Keal Harry and the young one? Hated it. What is going on here? I try to tell people from people other parts of the country that I work with, we're astute. We know what's going on around here, and this is what we hear. Has it come to this? Where Patriots have played 11 games, they've won 10. And you're now really reaching to critique and criticize Tom Brady.
Did you ever
think he's unhappy?
Did you ever stop to think, you hear in the course of your call, you said we're number one and we critique Brady. Did you ever think that they're related? That we're number one because there's no sacred cows?
Hold on. I'm going to answer that question. Hold on. And I'm going to answer that.
And we'll critique Brady in time when others won't? You don't think that maybe there's a reason there, Bobby, that those two things happen to be related?
Okay, let me answer the question. The way you guys say the Patriots are so good, and the reason why you're number one, is because the competition isn't that great. Hey, touche, my friend.
I don't know about that. I mean, that's—I don't know. That's not for me to say.
Hated it.
I like it. Oh, I like that. See, this stuff that I like. I like that.
And we all collectively all said that Brady actually had an underrated good game yesterday.
Yeah, I thought Brady was good, and I think he's come around a little bit on the young guy. Crowbar, it's taking its, you know, it's slow, and it's begrudging, but Brady's coming around a little bit, and I think he will continue to, because I think those guys will continue to be there. They'll continue to make plays, and it's all going to end up in the same spot. But I'm sorry. Brady deserves criticism for the way he's carried himself at times this year. He just does.
Yeah, so to Bob and Easton, I would say you made me laugh, which is always good, so I give you credit for that. But you're a baby. It's the same, you know, you accuse us of the same act. It's the same act all the time.
How'd you feel about Bob and Easton's call there, Mass?
I hated it.
I set you up for that.
I wasn't the one playing.
No, you weren't ready for it?
No, I know. It's okay.
Here comes an update. 90 seconds, no commercials. We reset our thoughts. Patriots, Cowboys, our lead thoughts right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.